The Unview, the thin, the rich, and the fabulous on cliffcentral.com.
Good morning, good morning, good morning to you. It's a Thursday morning, the spring. It's happening all here in Johannesburg. The magic of this beautiful city, and of course, the magic of South Africa and what happens here in this wonderful country of ours. We're going to talk about magical things on the Unview today. We've got SA Fashion Week. We're going to chat to Lucilla Boysen and also chat to a phenomenal show that happened yesterday by Gert Johan Kutsia, all in honor of endangeredness. And we're going to talk, it's also National Rhino Day. So yeah, save the rhino. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. We've got Fiona Ramsey, the phenomenal.
Absolutely.
Actress joining us on the show. We've got Vota Kellerman, Grammy Award winner. It's nice to have like all these award winners. We've also got Nikki van der Walt. Very interesting news. You know, we just played a song by Black Coffee, and there's some interesting things that's happening in Cape Town with Shimmy Beach Club, because Black Coffee will be performing with Goldfish at Shimmy over the December period. They've just launched it, so it's kind of it's the biggest gig in South Africa. It's like these big DJs go off to Ibiza.
Insane.
Same concept. So we'll chat to Nikki van der Walt. Also, this is a brilliant, the Ritz is an iconic building in Cape Town. It's the old Ritz, and they're turning it into like a 5-star boutique. No, it's not going to be boutique. Special hotel in the center of Cape Town. But also they've got like the top chef coming in there to do a restaurant. We'll talk all about that. That launches in December, but it was all over the Sunday Times. And then we'll chat to Jen Sue about Chef Sue Share, my guest in studio who joins me every week, Chatty Matty, Matthew Coonan.
Morning, Al.
How you doing?
I'm super, thank you. Sun's out. I'm smiling.
I know, we're all smiling. The world is good.
Yeah.
Life is lekker, and things are magic. That's as it is.
As they should be.
Again, still, who is the thin, who is the rich, and who is the fabulous? We have not worked that out yet.
We're the fabulous.
But we will... Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But I want to be like the mega rich and I want to be the super thin. Mega rich or super thin? Which would you go for?
Right now.
Oh.
Stumped. Rich.
Do you want to have the body of let's, Brad Pitt's a bad example, but of Ashton Kutcher?
Yeah.
Like the whole vibe?
Yeah.
Or would you go for like the mega rich?
I reckon the mega rich would
I'd go mega rich, baby. No. I think with that. Hell, hire it in. That's what I say on that one. But magical things happening on the show today. We're going to chat to Lucilla Boysen, as I said to you. And of course, you know, the SA Fashion Week is such a huge, huge event.
Sure.
Have you been, obviously?
I went to one last year, actually. Had a fantastic time at the one in, the Crown Plaza in Rosebank there. So some magic stuff. So.
Well, it is. And I got to say, it's come back to Johannesburg. And on the line, we've got Lucilla Boysen. Hi, Lucilla. How are you doing?
Hi. Very, very well. Thank you.
Again, another magical fashion week.
Incredible. And you know, it's really, really amazing this year. Every year it's better.
Tell us a bit about what people can expect and what's been going on. I know it opened on Monday night.
Okay, yes, we opened on Monday night with a Sunglass Hut New Talent. And we saw seven young designers with huge, huge potential and that everybody should look out for. And then Clive Randall's show was spectacular. I mean, you must know that his show was opulence. Today we are doing the offsite show with Black Coffee, Luna and Guillotine and 44 Stanley and then Keys. So Keys has got his standalone show. We also had one of the highlights was Gert Johan Kutsia's show last night at the Hill. Yesterday afternoon, actually,
at the Westcliff.
At the Hilton. Four Seasons.
Oh yeah, sorry. Yes, it's called the Four Seasons. It's changed its name.
It's changed its name. Yes. So that, of course, was a spectacular installation. And you know what is incredible about this season is the workmanship is so much better than last season. We've introduced the new color theme for the dress code. I don't know if you know that.
Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So we introduced a no-color dress code, which, of course, means that the audience now comes dressed in a neutral color so that the fashion colors can pop out. And this is exactly what is happening. I mean, if you see the videos, I mean, if you just look at what the newspapers and you can immediately see that the audience takes second place and the collections are taking first place, which is exactly what we want.
Well, so it's fantastic. Lucilla, that is very clever because sometimes people come dressed in let's say other designers or international designers, they come in these bright, shiny, sprinkly colors. Okay, they're standing out, the glitz and the glam, and it kind of, it's not about you. I'm sorry to say this, but it's not about you as an audience member. It's about the performance slash the art slash the fashion slash the designer slash the models. It is not about the person watching the show. And that is why understated is always better. I mean, the worst thing you see is people sitting in the front row and they're dressed bigger feathers than the models. It's crazy.
You see, the thing is, it's actually just, you know, underdress is incredible. You know, you go to the Berlin Fashion Week and everybody's underdressed. And you see the most incredible labels. So it is not about throwing, you know, shouting. It's about being. And that is really what I wanted the audience to be, so that they could focus on the designers. And the audience is amazing. I want to tell you, I've never in 20 years had an audience, because, you know, I look at the audience. I've never had such spectacular looking people and no color. It's incredible.
Lucilla, again, it's understated, and making the performer, the artist, or most importantly, making the star, the fashion designer, pop out. Exactly. I think that's the important thing. Lucilla, I want to just say something, because it's incredible. You've been doing this for, as you said, 20 years. And within all these years, there's all these pop-up fashion weeks and all these things that are happening in fashion shows. But it must be interesting to see the progression of the fashion week industry over the past how many years?
Well, 20 years. The South African Fashion Week was the first. Next year will be our 20th year. And yes, you know, for me, the more fashion shows and the more fashion marketing platforms, the better. The sad thing is that the people do not have the originality to choose a name. And that is the thing. So we started the Fashion Week and I registered it in 2001.
Yes.
Yeah. And then instead of taking the same concept and helping and slotting yourself in a space where it's needed, you find these event organizers starting as something that they now also call a fashion week. So it causes huge confusion, and that then weakens the
industry and an industry, because I mean, could you imagine New York Fashion Week or Paris Fashion Week having,
or Brooklyn Fashion Week
having,
or
10 or fashion sort of weeks fashion you understand week. You can't
but it's only in this country that I mean, people think wherever I go, people think that we you know, they sort of laugh at us, but anyway,
so it's true, and that's why I brought it up, because it is interesting. It's like,
but the essential thing is, it's needed. Events are needed. We need to have all these events. And you know what? You can build your event into a magnificent event. And you can call it anything, because it actually doesn't sit in the name. It sits in what you do with it. So you can call something the Bronco Sprite Fashion
Parade. Yeah.
Parade. And and you can actually say it like that if you want to. But if you build that event, it can become the most amazing event in South Africa. And that is the point, not the name.
An important thing also is then to join forces with someone like yourself with SA Fashion Week, if you are doing these type of things. But you know, unfortunately, it's called competition and jealousy in many respects. But you have done it for 20 years.
Competition is
very good. But it is
now there's something that they can compare with, you know, because in the past there was nothing to compare with.
Lucilla, I congratulate you.
Thank you.
The reviews have been rave reviews across the board on all over social media and obviously over the press. And again, the secret to this is about promoting great talent. And that is the key.
Exactly.
And that is the key. I mean, if people are thinking, it's about getting fashion out there. It's about understanding trends, because, you know, no one understands that when you go in, like a layman like myself, into a store and I buy a shirt, things like SA Fashion Week create that platform for the industry to create this particular color. And that's what
you
do.
Biggest, It's the biggest of the biggest industries in the world. In Italy, it's the second biggest industry, and we're all incredibly fashionable. All we have to do is create the industry, and we will have huge jobs creation, and huge money will change hands in South Africa. It's, so, you know,
yeah, 100%.
We need to just do it.
It's an unfair question, but your favorite collection that you've seen thus far? It's an unfair question. Are you allowed to answer it?
No, I can this season answer it.
Yes, who?
I think my most it's not necessarily my most favorite collection. I can't say the most favorite, but the collection that for me has taken the most design, the most of input in quality, in workmanship, in thought, in all of that is definitely by far Clive Rundle.
Out of this world.
By far, because you know every piece that he does and is a piece of art. It's incredibly well made. Whereas some of the other designers that are also fantastic and wonderful, I mean, are more commercial. They are just designing more commercial. But for me, what impresses me is always the art. You know, Alexander McQueen, Yamamoto, you know, all those people are people that I absolutely admire for their art talent and the combination of art and fashion. So yes, that is Clive Rundle. Has really, his collection was the night before the first night, and it was opulence and beauty combined with workmanship and design.
Magic. Congratulations again. We wish you the success till it ends. And of course, that is Lucilla Boysens, the owner of South African Fashion Week, and of course, another magical year that we've had. On the line, we now have, it was again one of the best shows that appeared, and I think has appeared this year. He is on the line, and his name is Gert Johan Kutsia. Hello, Gert, how are you doing?
Hi, fine, and you?
Welcome to the show. First and foremost, I think you made history, if I'm not mistaken. Was it the first fashion show to go live as you came down with each garment down the runway? It was live on Instagram.
I think definitely in South Africa.
Yes, was in South Africa. It could have been in the world. I tried to research it this morning.
It was quite fun. It was quite fun to do that Instagram live fashion show cut up of a feature, because I find that I've got so many loyal followers on Instagram and on social media, and they are in the end my biggest clients and supporters. And who best to show them first than my Instagram followers? So that was quite exciting and quite different, and a lot of planning went into it, but I think it went off without a glitch.
Okay, now Gert, your inspiration today is National Rhino Day, a day that we, of course, we acknowledge the should we say onslaught of what has happened to this magnificent creature in Africa, and you linked this into what you did in terms of your inspiration for yesterday's show. Tell us about it.
Yes, of course. So the collection was called Black and Ivory, and it's really about celebrating our beautiful fauna and flora we have in Africa. Mm-hmm. I think as South Africans, as Africans, we sometimes forget how beautiful and how lucky it is. And when we hear about all these horrible things happening to these animals, it kind of saddens you, because there might not be any left for future generations. And I think it's just about giving it good energy and celebrating the beauty of the rhino, the beauty of the elephant, the beauty of all the species that's endangered in our country. And that was the inspiration behind the collection. It's just a celebration of all beautiful things in Africa.
Tell us about some of the pieces, your inspiration with the cuts and what you were doing with your fashion. And of course, please, if people are listening right now, or if you're listening to the podcast, they can join you on Instagram right as we speak.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
What is your Instagram?
You can go check
it out.
Gert Johan Kutsia.
Yeah, because you can actually look at it as we're talking. Because I'm on it right now. Tell us some of the inspirations. I look at this piece that Bonang wore. your grand finale piece is sensational. Sensational.
Thank you.
The bronze is beautiful. Firstly, Benang is magnificent. But yeah, I mean, look at this piece,
man. Gorgeous girl.
Wow.
Such a strong woman.
Yeah.
So what we wanted to do is we just really wanted to bring across different textures of Africa. So even though the inspiration is Africa and its animals, I wanted to really take an artistic approach towards it. So you'll see lots of different textures, lots of black and white, because that's, of course, the trend. Lots of deep maroons and reds. That's such a big trend at the moment. Lots of, like, coats and chiffons dripping and draping around the persons. But the big trend at the moment that's coming is of course black and white stripes, lots of patterns, lots of pleats. And of course, that you remember the 90s, we had those creased t-shirts and those creased type of things. So that is coming back. So a lot of that as well. So those are the trends that you need to look out for. And of course, every woman needs a choker for the season coming.
Well, I must tell you, I love Look 11. Again, it's a photo of Bunang, so I'm being a little bit unfair. But I do love the fact that you have got this beautiful print, and then added
Thank
to
you.
The print, you've got this again, the choker linked to the bodice,
with
this beautiful, it looks like a jersey in some sense. It's so stunning.
Yeah, it's almost like a chiffon version of the boyfriend jacket. And boyfriend jacket's also big for winter. And then, of course, into summer, we need to transist it. So I made nice chiffon versions of it. Just to have you that loose, feeling-free feeling.
Gert, again, this inspires you year on year. It's good to see the magic of the talent that's happening in South Africa. Why SA Fashion Week or not the other fashion weeks?
You know, it's about
a fair
the
question.
Business of fashion. It's of course, it's a very fair question. I'm probably Lucilla's biggest supporter in the world. What she's done for the SA fashion industry, I think, not many people understand, but it has been massive. She took an industry that was seen as entertainment years ago, and she made a business out of it. And Fashion Week doesn't just stop when the lights go off. Fashion Week supports the designers year through to make sure that we can actually make a living off fashion and also drive nice cars and live in nice houses. So it takes something that people has viewed as entertainment in many years ago, and we made it into the business of fashion where you can get South African fashion in retail stores. You can buy it, and it's actually affordable. So that is why I choose SA Fashion Week, and that's why I think Lucilla has so many people respect her so much because of that she's done for the industry.
Now, of course, this is not known to the general public, but you're off to the United States. Any special reason? Can you give us any secrets of why are you planning to visit the US?
I'm going to work. I'm going to kind of like do an internship with Vogue magazine calls him the best pattern maker in the world. I can't say his name, but it's going to be very exciting. It is just literally going
Amazing.
Overseas and learning from the best. And this person, like, he is the person that works with the best. So the best people go to him to do all their things. So it is going to be absolutely amazing. I'm going for a month, and then I'm going for 2 days to Paris just to go and see what the fashion is like there and collaborate there for a moment, and then come back to Africa and bring all that knowledge back and make the women here look even better.
I love it. That's Gert Johan Kutsia. Congratulations. It was a great show, and people were raving about it. Thank you very much for joining us, Gert. Cheers. That's Gert Johan Kutsia. And, of course, it is National Rhino Day. Of course, we want to support our rhinos and talk about that. We're going to discuss in a moment's time the magic of the theatre, of course, and some of the things that you've done. I must tell you, we had a very – and I have to play the song because it's a dedication – a very sad week. In South Africa. I worked with him. Had the pleasure of having a number of television shows. Danny Kaye was meant to join us on the show today, but unfortunately he is so busy at the moment trying to just sort out the memorials for Mandoza. But again, such a sad story due to an illness that which is cancer. But of course our thoughts and our prayers go with him. But, you know, forever and ever, this is the magic. The magic of music is that you don't have to be alive.
He's immortalized.
It is exactly the point. And forever and ever, I mean, you'll hear, it's like, Itlicha, you will hear this song. And I mean, it's immortalized. I mean, so in dedication and in long life to you, rest in peace, my brother. Mandoza, have fun in heaven, baby. And what a man he was. I must tell you, we got to spend quite a lot of time together. I've got to tell you, he reminded me, and does remind me, of what I would imagine would like to meet someone like Bob Marley. And I make no references to like anything that's like weed related, but he was just such a cool, calm, collective guy. Jen Sue's just joined us in studio, and of course, Jen, you had the pleasure of meeting Mandoza a number of times.
Absolutely. You know, I just think about him at the Samas. We had so much fun dancing together, singing together. It's really been such an honor being able to have the pleasure of knowing Mendoza and spending a lot of good times. I have a lot of good memories of him.
I know, and of course, it is keeping that alive that goes, wow, I mean, another South African talent that is now lost, but again, immortalized.
And gone too soon, I just don't understand.
But immortalized by music,
Jen. Absolutely,
that's
and that's the thing about music, and I think, you know, for anyone who has a passion behind you, whether it's, you know, you want to write a book, you want to write a blog, you want to create music, do it, because that legacy will always be there for you after you're gone, and for your children or for your family.
In honor of our friend Mendoza, Alec Art, magical, magical man. This is the Unview, the Thin, the Rich, and the Fabulous here on cliffcentral.com. It's good to be with you. And of course, in a moment's time, we're going to chat to Fiona Ramsey. And Fiona's just called in, so which is really cool. We'll
fantastic.
Chat to Fiona now. But of course, Matt.
Yes.
Chatty Matty, Matthew Coonan's in studio. And of course, Matt does our theatre reviews. You went to go and see the show.
Absolutely.
Last night. Tell me about the show, Les.
Ah, La Cenci, as far
La
as...
La Cenci.
You know, if we'll get the pronunciation from
La
Cenci, just now.
Yeah.
But what a mind blow. Not a long show. Power-packed. Cast of, I think, about five or six. Fee can fill us in. But, you know, kind of based on the kind of the semi-autobiographical life of Antoine Artaud, a French playwright, poet, artist. And what a cruel piece of theatre. I'm sure Fiona will enlighten us as to that.
Well, on the line we have award-winning performer... I mean,
legend extraordinaire.
Of note, Fiona Ramsey. Hi, Fiona. How are you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. And I know that you're in Wits and you're trying to deal with all the Wits issues. But welcome and thank you for making a small amount of time for us. Tell us about the show.
Well, you know, Gopala Davies, the director, was actually a student of mine. He came to me for an accent class once. And we became quite good friends and realized that we had quite similar interests in theatre. Anyway, he said to me, he was applying for Grahamstown, and he said, can I put your name in? I never thought it would happen, and I said, sure. And then, sure as eggs, he said, it's happening, and I see you in a white dress. I said, I'll wear a white dress, that's fine. but it was an incredible process to work through. It's a multimedia experience, you know, it's got films and all sorts of things. So we had great fun filming it. And it is about the life of Antonin Artaud. It's Gopala's vision of that. And I think that what comes out of the piece is that cruelty is beautiful. Whether you agree with that or not, someone said to me last night, it's too beautiful to be cruel. And I said, well, I think you've hit the nail on the head. He believes that cruelty is beautiful. And that was his homage to Antonin Artaud.
Tell us a bit more, for obviously people that are going to come and see the production and want to know a bit about this particular playwright. Why do you say that? What do you mean by cruelty? Explain that.
Well, I think that what he does is he combines the story of La Cenci, which is about a woman who was burnt at the stake, as a metaphor, in a way, for one of the things that Antonin Artaud said, which is he sees actors tied to the stake laughing at the flames, which is quite an insane image. And I think he uses that all the way through. He also, sort of, it's biographical about Antonin Artaud. He suffered greatly from mental illness. And I actually believe he was a schizophrenic. So some of the vignettes in the piece are devoted to what defines mental illness. For example, I do a piece where I speak to the camera about how schizophrenia has been treated and whether this is successful or not. So there are many facets to the piece. It's a vignette of about five different pieces which are facets of Antonio Arto's work and life.
You know, Fee, there was a moment that I was sitting there. You speak about asylum quite openly, and we understand that these characters are kind of caught in their own minds and their own kind of pathologies. And we sit there as an audience, and this auditorium is littered with its posters and papers and pictures and writing. And I felt so trapped myself because I thought I don't want to move at the risk of making a noise. So you know, at one and the same time, I felt like I became asylum as a result of what you guys were doing and what you imposed on the audience. It was fascinating.
I think, yes, I think that is what the intention for Kapala was. All those drawings are actually Arto's paintings that he painted in an asylum.
Right.
So some of them are very disturbed and some of them are quite beautiful. But for me, the greatest challenge was I move around the stage, as you know, for a while, and then have a speech in ancient French.
Yes.
At the end, which was a speech that Antonin Artaud himself made. And so he's combined all these facets. For me, you know, I look quite statuesque, but the Kapala kept on saying, don't do anything, don't do anything, don't do anything. Just be you in that dress. And that, for an actor, is really quite a challenge.
But Fee, I'm sitting with goosebumps on me at the moment, kind of covered in goose flesh, because you did nothing, or you said nothing, yet you did so much. Do you know what I mean? It was one of those, it was bizarre. Your presence.
Bizarre. I think the experience is bizarre.
Yeah.
You know, audience members, we've had some disturbed audience members who've walked out.
Yeah, we saw that last night.
I think that's, you know, that's totally valid response to Antonin Artaud, because that's what he wanted. He wanted to shock people, and he wanted people to feel disturbed. And I think Kapala's trying to say is, I don't know what you get from this piece, but each person will get something different. Some people will blot out, you know, the mental stuff because they don't want to confront it, and other people will lap it up if they're interested in that exploration. We had a guy who was himself schizophrenic in it, and he thought it was a completely normal experience.
Sure.
Which was fascinating.
But that is the magic of theatre and seeing different type of genres of theatre and different type of work. So, Fiona, tell us the run, where people can go and see it. Give us all the info.
Well, we only have three more shows left. Mm-hmm. It's one of those sort of performance experiences that can't sustain a long run because, number one, we're all painted white. but I think it's an experience that needs to be concentrated. So we're on tonight, tomorrow night, and Saturday night at the Concowan Theatre, which is at the Bunting Road UJ campus. Nice. And UJ is on break, so there's no danger. They're on a break, so there's no danger of rioting students. It's a beautiful little theatre, and I think the piece sits very well in it.
Beautiful
theater. It's at 7:30 every night, and come down. Tickets, I think, are available at the door, and or you can book online.
Again, Fiona, people see you on mainstream stage. It's nice to also see you off stage, not off stage, but off the regular scene, and to go and see a piece of work like this. I look forward to seeing it. Fiona, what can we expect from you in the upcoming future? Any magical work?
Well, you know, I've just come back from Hilton, where we did one woman show called Blonde Poison. We hope to bring that to Johannesburg. As you know, it's not that easy to secure venues anymore. And you either run the risk of doing it in Pop Art, for example, which is a fabulous venue, but you do four performances, and then you kind of kill your Joburg run, or you hang in there for, you know, a longer run at another theatre. We may well do it at Sandton Theatre on the Square or the Market Theatre. But I'm actually about to embark on another one-woman show in Afrikaans.
Oh, my goodness. You and John Carney, what is this Afrikaans thing happening?
Well, she's a very interesting character. Her name is Betty Du Toit, and she was an Afrikaans communist. Little is known about her, but
incredible.
It's a fantastic. Yeah, it's incredible. So, you know, all I'm grateful for is that work keeps coming in. I work across the mediums. I work in television. I work in film. You know, I do a lot of coaching, and I'm a lecturer now at Wits. So, you know, I just, you know, keep on keeping on is my motto, and do everything.
Fiona, we need you in studio when the new show comes out. We'd love to have you with us. So we hope that you can come in. So let's set that up.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. And lovely to see you last night, Matt.
You too, Fee.
Always good to chat to you, Fiona Ramsey. Of course,
thank you so much, Alan.
South African legend of note.
Absolutely.
And what a very interesting
production. And frightening at the same time.
I'm terrified to go to it.
You know, these characters that we know, because we socialize with them, these actors, I mean, they were completely painted white.
Really?
Completely
unrecognizable. I saw the pictures. I mean, if you go into Fiona's profile on Facebook, you can have, I mean, it's quite daunting. And Alan, I thought it was ghostly in some sense.
Completely. Yeah. Completely. But I mean, Alan, you look at the set, and the set is literally from wall to floor. It is, and from ceiling to the floor, rather, it is just posters and pictures of Antonin's works, as Fiona said, and it's just that is the set.
You see, yeah. It's what I do like about this is sometimes we find these magnificent characters or the gems that we don't know, we haven't heard of them.
No.
Lay public, General Allen, knows nothing. Okay, and then you know you watch a movie and you go, oh my god, then they win an Academy Award, and you find these, you know, and then. So these are the type of shows if you want to learn
absolutely
about people that you should be going to.
Sure. You know, I mean,
this is what you do off Broadway if you want to educate yourself.
Correct.
This is exactly the type of stuff that you do. Because I'd never heard of him before, obviously. But because it's Fiona and all of a sudden I've got to go and see this.
And you know what? I would really encourage audiences. They're in at 7:30 and they're out by 8:15. It's not
really
a long piece. So, you know, even if it's a school night for the old bullies, I encourage them to get out there and check this work out. It is spectacular.
Which is so good. Now, Matt.
Yes.
Tell us what's happening in the theatre. Give us the run. Go.
Right. Saturday Night Fever opened last week at the State Theatre. Big audience. Big set, massive cast. Bernard Jay has assembled a fresh creative team to ensure that this production is restaged, recreated, re-engineered, and has pulled off a massive, massive feat in this production. I would really encourage people to get out to the State Theatre. It's one of our kind of stalwart kind of institutions. Get out there, support the local talent. Following that, at the State Theatre, we have a piece called Narrative Dreams, which is a beautiful children's theatre story, and it's in one of the smaller theatres, and it is a real drama about two boys from different socioeconomic backgrounds, unique set of social circumstances, and they are bonded by the fact that they are adolescent boys experiencing loneliness and change, and the fact that they are human, which is gorgeous. We spoke to Sandra Prinsler a few weeks ago about her piece, Ask Any Pink Tunny. Saw that, I was reduced to a puddle of tears.
Were
and
you?
Twin savers. Mm. It was ridiculous. I was pathetic. It's an acting masterclass. Go and check it out. It finishes this coming Sunday, and I would just really recommend people just head out to Monty and check it out. Afrikaans piece, highly accessible for non-Afrikaans speakers. Really, go and check that out. And then, Al, we've been speaking about this festival that's come up at Redhill Arts Festival, aka Redfest.
So excited. We're going to be doing quite a bit of stuff with this, okay? This is really great. And,
Redhill has just assembled the most phenomenal, phenomenal jam-packed...
But tell us about Hector Peterson's sister.
Oh, my goodness. Antoinette. Right.
Antoinette Peterson. Of course, we're in Heritage Month. I mean, this is...
We know that iconic image.
Yes.
And she stands alongside her brother with her hands up in the air. And what Redhill has managed to do is managed to secure Antoinette Peterson to come in and chat to their kids or to the audience after a performance of Warza Albert. Also, I mean... an iconic protest theatre piece.
Beautiful.
Which we've kind of resurrected for this festival. It's still a set work for schools, and Antoinette will be speaking to the audience afterwards and kind of just, you know,
this
talking
about magical, magical stuff.
Absolutely.
It's redfest at redhill.co.za, by the way.
So,
this is, you want to take your kids, I'm going to take myself.
Absolutely.
To listen to this and to after this piece. But I love that you've got some magical works happening. We need to go more in depth
more about
on this, I think.
But I think in the meantime, if you want to get information, go to redhill.co.za or check it out on
the
web
Red
tickets.
Fest.
Yeah.
At, yeah.
We're painting the town red, Al.
This is really cool. Lots of good theatre.
Absolutely.
And again, we want to promote all forms of art. So whether we're talking about Fashion Week, or we're talking about theatre, or whether we're speaking about music, whether we're talking about cooking, this is what the show's about. This is the Unview. And that's what it's all about, the magic. We're going to chat a bit more about theatre in a moment, but in a second, we're going to talk to, you know, it's always cool to have a Grammy winner on the show. I kind of think when you got a Grammy winner, it's really big. But I mean...
And when he's South African, it's even bigger.
It's even better.
The Unview The Thin, The Rich, and The Fabulous on cliffcentral.com.
And that is what you're listening to. My name is Alan Ford. Of course, we've got in-studio Chatty Matty. And of course, I'm happy to have seated with us.
The gorgeous
Jen Su, who we're obsessed with. But, you know,
hey.
No one knows that Jen Su is so beautifully, classically trained in music.
No ways.
Absolutely. And that is why, Jen, one of South Africa's biggest heroes is Wouter Kellerman.
I just had dinner with him on Sunday night.
Did you?
Yes.
Where was it?
We were in, can I say exactly the name of the restaurant? It was Cilantro in Michelangelo Towers.
Mm. Outstanding.
Yes. And Wouter is just amazing. In fact, he's with a very close friend of mine, Paul Perez, who's a Grammy Award winning drummer as well, who was also playing at the Standard Bank Joy of Jazz. So a whole of a bunch of us were together. It was amazing.
I always think it's very blessed when you have a Grammy Award winner on any program. But to have a flutist and to have one of the biggest South African stars.
And he's so modest.
And he's so great.
He's so down to earth. never know.
Okay. Have you held a Grammy before?
I've never held a Grammy.
I held his Grammy this week.
I was at his house. I should have held his Grammy.
I held the Grammy. This is the coolest thing to do. On the line, we have Wouter Kellerman. Thank you for joining us, Wouter. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Great to be there. Thanks for the flattering words. Kind words.
Well, I can't. More than a Grammy, we cannot flatter you, dear. That's unfortunately.
And Wouter, if you're not going to do it, we're going to do it for you.
We're going to do it for you, yeah. But yes, humility is superb within you. Wouter, again, when we first chatted with you, it was when you had won the first Grammy. You were nominated this year. What is Wouter up to? I mean, you said something to me in a whisper of my ear, and I cannot unfortunately share it with the audience. But 2018, you're going for a big Grammy, huh? You're going to get that one.
Yes, we've got a very ambitious project with the Soweto Gospel Choir, and I have got a joint project themed around Soweto, and then it will be a tribute to Madiba. And, we've got some amazing guest artists, Grammy-winning guest artists from all over the world. That we're going to include. So it's a very ambitious project, and we're going to enter it for a Grammy next year, and we hope, we fingers crossed, we can win the Grammy in 2018 when it's Madiba's centenary of his birth as a celebration and tribute to him. So that's what we have in mind, but you know, that'll take some doing, but we're putting it out there, and we do want to create this beautiful music as a tribute.
You fly out tonight. You're going off to Australia, to America, to India. You travel the world. You're in festivals. Has your life changed since you were nominated and since you won that award? Has it changed significantly?
Yes, it has changed significantly because it's been just been easier to get the music out there because, you know, as musicians, we have challenges. We first is to make the music, but then an even more difficult challenge is to get it out there, get it heard, and winning the Grammy and being nominated again has just helped to sort of shine the light on the music, and that's just made my job much easier and made it possible for me to focus more on the music and not to have to spend so much time in the marketing process. So I'm really grateful for it. It has really been a life-changing event. But you know, that doesn't necessarily happen. Some people win Grammys and they think it's not really something that happens to you. It's something that you make happen. You know, that's a tool in your armory. It's a tool that you can use to get the music out there, basically.
Wouter, again, you know, you are a classical musician, but a lot of your music has an underlying spiritual feel. And you use a lot of spiritual elements. Can you explain that to me? Because that's what I pick up.
Yes, you know, that's exactly it. My background's classical, but I'm crossing over into all the world music elements. It's got a strong African feel. But, you know, when I make the music, I think of it as many-layered, as music with depth, so that when you listen to it, when you listen to it again and again, there's layers to uncover and discover. So, that's how I think. But basically, I'm just trying to spread the good energy and the passion for life with the music. You know, that's sort of the main idea. And when I create the music and when we record it, you know, we're very conscious of those different layers to make sure that people can can, you know, we're trying to have it accessible so it's nice on a first lesson, but then there's a lot more to discover on subsequent lessons.
Vota, I had the pleasure of meeting you in person last week for the first time, so I'm honored that I'm chatting second week in a row. But you mentioned that, you know, you come out of yoga and that's when you find yourself most inspired and that's when you're kind of writing your pieces and composing. You know?
Yes. You know, yoga for me is sort of it's a cross training because, you know, playing the flute, and I think playing any instrument, you spend a lot of time in one position, so you need to cross train your body. Mm. And so for me, it's firstly a physical thing, but also then a sort of a meditative connection between, you know, and I mean, there's so many different names for meditation. Some people call it prayer, some people call it meditation. And for me, playing the flute is like a meditation. Mm. So that's a daily meditation, deep breathing. And even if nobody listened, I would still need to play just to find the center of myself and find that peaceful space that I can work from. So, yeah, the music has given me so much. You know, it's just been a really beautiful process to be involved in.
We would love you to join us in studio so we can do a whole one-on-one interview with you. Also, if we can bring that Grammy with you, it would be fantastic. Plus, you must bring the flute and you've got to play and, you know, and
yes.
Will you do that for
me? I'd love to do that.
Please.
I'd love to do that. I'm actually just going to Australia and the US today, but I'll be back middle of October, and then I would love to.
We'll bring you in. We'll do a Christmas special with you. That'll be awesome.
That'll be amazing. I'd love to do that.
I must say, your humility precedes you, but more importantly, your music is magical, and I think it's very, very special to have a great South African artist on the show, and of course, within our midst. Congratulations again on all that you do, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, and yeah, great. It was good timing to have spent some time with you both in the last week.
And with Jensu.
I know, isn't that crazy?
All of us this week.
This just goes to show Jensu is everywhere.
Exactly.
Was having dinner with Vota Kellerman.
Jensu is everywhere.
Yeah. And I'm not lying.
But you know what?
Awesome.
So is Vota. Just saying.
And so is Vota. And Vota travels as much as I do. He's off now, you know, traveling everywhere.
Which is so cool.
It's insane. Yeah.
Vota, be well, and we'll chat to you shortly. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Travel safely.
Thanks for talking. We'll chat soon.
Cheers. Always wonderful to chat to a Grammy Award winner, Vota Kellerman. You see, it's so cool to hold the Grammy. It was so much fun.
I'm so jealous. I was even at his house, and I didn't
even think about doing that.
Next time I'm going to go and try.
I still took the gramophone and went bing, bing, like ching, ching on it.
Is it heavy?
It's heavy. It's gold-plated. And then you will see the medals because every nominee gets a. I know you'd love it because you're a musician.
Yeah.
You get a medal. So when you're nominated.
I didn't see that special room.
So you get these.
I was only in the living room.
And all these awards and all these psalms.
Wow.
And it's really
stunning.
I don't know how you guys feel, but I mean, that guy is tall. Vota is.
He's tall.
He's very tall.
And he's incredible.
Yeah. And quite a presence.
Just his presence, exactly.
Yes.
He is great. But when he comes into studio, I want to go through, because I love to go through processes. So I want to know, when they announced your name, what went
what
through your
What was going through your mind?
And then when you walk up to the stage, what do you do? And then like, is it fun shaking booty with the Grammy, with Beyonce's, you know? So Beyonce and you got a Grammy, and like, you're going like, dee-dee, and you're dancing with each other. I mean, I want to know.
That's also why people get them on stage and they can't say anything. They're speechless. Yeah. They're dumbfounded.
But the after party.
They're in shock.
Like, this is my Grammy. Let's see your Grammy. Ching, ching. You know, you can say cheers from a Grammy.
True.
I just think that's what ends up happening. You go to these parties and anyway, we'll chat all about it. But I did chat to Vota on the Sun. They host their own party. For a lot of, so he had the pleasure of becoming friends with the people that actually make the Grammy Awards.
Amazing.
And that designed and actually produce it, and the actual award itself. Mm. And then they throw a little event on a Friday night, and everyone does that just so that in their own genres and their own industries, in terms of their own music genres. And but it's very interesting, and I think that's so interesting to speak to him.
For
about.
Sure.
So get him into studio. On that note, the magic of Jensu is in studio, and of course, Jen is all over the place. Jen, you're back in South Africa for a while.
Yes, I am.
How's living overseas?
Living overseas is very interesting.
Are you missing us?
I mean, I'm overseas every couple of weeks.
And then you're back in.
People say they like, you know, can't stand commuting from Cape Town to Joburg. I said, this is nothing. I do China, South Africa. Yeah. This is, you know, a long commute, but I'm very used to it. In fact, the best time is when I'm on the airplane because I can actually, you know, lie down, sleep. I turn off all devices. I'm out of touch and it's fantastic.
I know. And the kids are well.
The kids are really good. They love the school in Shanghai. They're very happy there. And the Chinese is greatly improved.
Well, of course, it's good to have you. And actually, Barbara Leonard was actually calling me on my phone.
Oh,
right now.
Okay. How fun is that?
Because we're going to talk about chefs who share. And tell me about that, Jen.
Well, Chefs Who Share is an amazing initiative. It was founded by Barbara Leonard and Florian Gust. And it is a yearly event that really helps underprivileged youth. It helps the young chefs. It helps people and many charities, including the MAD Foundation, which is the Make a Difference Leadership Foundation, the Click Foundation, and the Veggie Box Initiative. The Veggie Box Initiative being something that is so wonderful for underprivileged children who are in need, providing food for them, also showing them how to put together sustainable vegetable gardens, also talking about nutritious food and healthy food. So it's really, you know, it's a whole holistic approach. And not only that, but it's an extravaganza week of incredible dinners, 14 top international and local chefs, 7 sommeliers, live auction, a focus on art. It's prepared for 252 exclusive guests. This is Saturday night at the City Hall. And they used to always have this in Cape Town. So this is the first year actually coming out in Joburg. And I mean, it's absolutely amazing. We did the art preview evening on Monday night at the Maslow. Tonight is a very big dinner also at the Saxon. Yes, and it's the Renaud Blanc dinner with Chef Werner Snook and Rito Mathis, preparing an exclusive dinner for 60 esteemed guests. And there's just so many incredible people involved. Vinit Bhatia, he's one of the top chefs from Qatar Airways, an international renowned chef, Vincent Rodier. There's so many people that are involved, as well as local chefs preparing and partnering together to provide something that is absolutely extravagant.
And that's what it's about.
Absolutely.
You see, what I said, you know, what this program is doing, Jen, is it's about art. And chefing is an art form.
Exactly.
Chefing is an art form. And I think it's an incredible thing if we're able to share magic and do charity work with all types of art, be it music, be it fashion, whatever it particularly is, you know, which I think is absolutely superb. Jen, otherwise your involvement, besides obviously, you know.
So I've been kind of a patron of
Chefs Who Share
from the very beginning. You know, I still remember when Barbara Leonard, you know, approached me and talked to me about it. And in any way, shape or form, I can help to promote this incredible initiative, this incredible event. This is really one of my favorites. It's definitely one of the top on the South African social calendar that
it's
you
gotta be, yeah.
cannot miss. And it benefits so many people in need, children in need. And it's just an incredible extravaganza. Really, she does such an incredible. It's so beyond
brings so,
amazing.
So many magical people together.
Because there are so many do's going on. There's SA Fashion Week going on right now. There's a lot of things happening. We just had the MTV Mama nominees last night.
So were you at that?
I unfortunately didn't make
it. You can't go to everything,
Jen. I did 7 events last night, and I tried to get to Constitution Hill. Every night is 7 events. Between 5 and 7 events.
Jen is everywhere.
In a day.
Jen is seriously everywhere.
You know what? And people actually started criticizing me on Twitter saying, no, she is not. She's just making that up. She's just trying
to show off.
So that's why I decided to put it on Facebook Live and to show I really am at all these places, and I really hustle. I go here and there. Sometimes I don't spend hours and hours at an event. And that's what I talk about in my book, From Z to A Lister, How to Build Your Personal Brand.
What a great book.
Thank you. Which is, you know, about how you have to kind of make each event happen and make it the most for you. However, Chefs Who Share is an event where I will spend hours. I will enjoy myself because it really is my highlight of the year.
Jen Hsu is my special guest in studio. We're talking about some of the specialities happening. Did you see the Sunday Times this week?
Yes, what happened in the Sunday Times that you're thinking about?
The
I want to know.
The big magic is on the line right now. Is Nikki van der Walt.
Nikki van der Walt. That's another person I just saw recently.
Okay, and Nikki's on the line, of course.
Awesome.
And magical projects that are happening both at Shimmy Beach Club.
I know.
And the launch of the new Ritz.
I know. In I can't believe he's doing the whole Ritz.
The
again.
Whole Ritz. Like from he's start doing the to Ritz finish. From start to finish.
It's unbelievable.
We have him on the line. Nicky van der Walt, thank you for joining us.
Ellie, how are you?
Good to have you, boy. How's everything going? How's Cape Town?
Busy. Cape Town is beautiful. Sorry, I got the call from your studio. I was actually running around a construction site with a hard hat on.
Well, that's this morning. Nicky, what can we expect from, firstly, the Sunday Times was what a great article. But, I mean, the Ritz Hotel, an iconic building that's been there for decades.
And 42 all of this, years.
42 years. And all of a sudden now you coming in and you dread, you glitz, glamour, the revolving restaurants opening up at the top. It's bringing back Las Vegas to Cape Town.
We're bringing Ritz, glitz to the Ritz. So, and just to give you a bit of history. So, SLC is a company we formed, Shimmy Luxury Collection. It's obviously anchored by Shimmy, which is the foundation which all this is built on. And we were approached by the previous operators to assist and help. And, you know, a lifelong dream of mine, you've known me most of my life, has been to be a hotelier. And we jumped on the opportunity. And when it presented itself, we realized we didn't want to do a half-hearted attempt at relaunching the Ritz. We wanted to do justice, which is an old grand dam. And we stripped it down to the bone. So we're busy redoing everything from the electrical to the piping to everything.
To the pool, to the common area. It's
We bring it into the 21st century, and we're doing, I would like to believe, a first-world job. So
The article read, glamour couple, new spin to Cape landmark. Of course, married to Leanne Liebenberg. Yes, your wife's next to you all the way with her hard hat on.
Listen, she thinks she's a CEO.
She's a lot sexier in that hard hat. No offense, Nicky.
She thinks she's the CEO. Nicky, I think she is the CEO. Let's go on. But again, when is it opening, and how do people get involved with it now? So if you're in the travel industry, if you're listening to this program and you want to start booking, are bookings open for hospitality? Can people come
we
and stay
are,
there?
Indeed, we are. Ellen, so just to give you an idea, we will be open by this coming season. We're doing a soft launch. We're putting some rooms into inventory by mid-November. Mm-hmm. With 170 of the 220 rooms will be available from the 1st of December. The top revolving restaurant with Bertus Besson will be open by
Bertus
December.
Bertus Besson is opening that restaurant. That is incredible. That is a chef of note, eh?
I'm probably one of his biggest fans. I mean, we went to Overture recently. You actually won the best tasting menu in the recent Gourmet Awards. Yeah. Kind of nice. We signed Black Coffee, as you well know, on group level, and he'll be the decks in the nightclub. We're opening a new all-day dining restaurant called Cabana, which will be open actually before Bertus on the ground floor, which flows out onto the pool. We're busy signing up a deal now with one of the major champagne houses. We'll be branding our pool area. So the whole idea with the pool and Cabana and ground floor is a whole Miami, Vegas vibe, but in Cape Town. We don't want to be Miami. We don't want to be Vegas.
We're original.
Cape Town. Yeah. We're original, but we're just bringing some international trends home.
Nicky, we're going to obviously chat to Bertus closer to the time and to you when we open it. Of course, we hope to even do a bit of a broadcast from there. I want to add one other thing is that, of course, because of the Shimmy Collection, you've got some magical things happening at Shimmy Beach Club starting end of November.
Now?
Yeah.
Actually, last night we had the Men's Health Awards and Fashion Show. So you can say the season is underway. We did close the season to do some small renovations. We've got some bigger cosmetic things coming out. We're launching a new look, obviously tying Shimmy, Ritz, and one of our other projects. You know, there's a common thread in the DNA. I want to weave through all the properties, and it's going to be an exciting bumper season. We've got some amazing shows.
Yeah, and is Goldfish coming back? Goldfish is back.
Yes. So,
and Black Coffee is at Shimmy as well.
Black Coffee and Goldfish all in the same weekend, every weekend. So, I mean,
that is rocking, rocking and rolling. I mean, you can't get better. And Nicky, we're going to leave you. We'll chat to you about more of your magic and with the magic of Cape Town coming up in the next couple of months. Best of luck and, rock and roll.
Thank you.
Thank
you, guys. Bye-bye.
That is Nicky van der Walt. He's just opened the new Ritz. Well, they haven't opened it. They're doing the new Ritz Shimmy Beach Club. We're in for a magical season, Jen.
Absolutely.
We're going to rock and roll, baby.
Oh, my gosh. And
the
Leanne,
cabana's going to open
he's
up.
He's got the best brand ambassador. Leanne Liebenberg is Hell so arch. Hot.
I've got my caftans. I'm walking in that pool area. I
want to see
you.
Her in that hard hat.
I'm saying, keep the hard hat.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, it's been good to be with you. We had a great show. Don't forget to download the podcast. Khatjan Kutsia, Lucilla Boysons, Fiona Ramsey, Fota Kellerman, Nikki van der Walt, Jen Sue, Chatty Matty, Matthew Coonan has been in studio. It has been a jam-packed, unview show. And, of course, it is magic. Again, our thoughts and prayers go to the family of Mandoza and, of course, to all his fans. Lots of love to him. And remember, party in heaven, baby, because one day we'll all be joining you. That's the way it goes. This is The Unview, the thin, the rich, and the fabulous. Be good, and God bless you.
The Unview, the thin, the rich, and the fabulous on cliffcentral.com.